We're going to be looking at 1 Peter. 1 Peter is dealing with a time when the church was going through severe persecution. Peter, in his wonderful epistle, says we love him, though we haven't seen him. And our joy is joy unspeakable. And he's talking about a church who he wants them to have an unspeakable joy of God. And yet they're in a midst of a persecution. And over the few weeks we're going to be looking at that. Before I do that this morning, I just want you to watch a video clip this morning. It's a modern version of what the church was going through in Peter. It's a real challenging video clip this morning to us. We are living in changing times. But whatever the changing times are, the one thing is constant. God remains the same. And God can fill us with exceeding joy no matter what situation we find ourselves in life. Contend. And that's what we've been doing in this week of prayer. We have an enemy who is real. But greater is he that is in us.
Amen.
And this week we have been praying from 11 in the morning till 2. And all of you people who have been praying, and thank you very much for taking your own personal prayer time slots. And on an evening as we've met every night this week. We are contending against a world of darkness that we might bring in. And in that video clip it said, have a word ready. Have a word ready for when anybody asks you, why do you come here? What is your purpose in life? And the Apostle Peter was trying to get over to his congregation that we are major players in a world which is lost. We are their hope and we are their answer. And it's Peter who says, therefore, have a reason for the hope of your calling. And we're going to be looking at the reason we have for our calling. And over the next few weeks, hopefully you can read that. We're going to just be looking at 2 verses at a time. Today we're going to know that you are the chosen of God. When someone asks you, why are we doing this? We're doing this because we are being chosen by God. We are God's ambassadors here. It's wonderful to know that God chose you. The second thing Peter says to them, listen, when someone asks you, why are you where you are? You say, because you have a living hope. Peter called you a living hope. That's what Peter calls you. You are a living hope, not a dead hope. Not a maybe hope. A living hope. Peter then goes on to say, and listen, when they ask you why you're doing it, say that God has revealed to you his truth about trials and temptations, and that we know that we're going to have trials. We know that we're going to have temptations. We're not immune to it. But this we do know, that since we are God's elect, he is walking those trials and those tribulations through with us. And that's why he gives us one of my most favorite verses. I think it's verse 8. I'm not sure what it is. But it's about being knowing that we love him, though we haven't seen him. I don't know, can somebody read it to me, please? Because obviously I haven't got it here. 1 Peter 1, verse 8, I would encourage you to take on.
Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And I'm filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy.
That was what we got Friday night.
Amen.
We were filled with an indescribable joy. I cannot put into words the emotion that went in on Friday evening as the Spirit of God fell upon us. I tell you something, that is better than anything else that this world can offer today. I've never seen Jesus. I don't know what he looks like. But by faith, I can experience daily the power of a risen God. Don't you think that is wonderful?
Amen.
You experience every day the power of a living God. We need to understand who we are in God this morning. Only in God, mind you. And finally, we will look at 1 Peter 1:10 to 12, where we will know the wonder and the greatness of our salvation. 1 Peter 1 verses 1 to 2 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia, to the elect according to the foreknowledge of God of the Father, through the sanctification of the Holy Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you, and peace be unto you, and be ye multiplied. There it is on there. Now I have underlined certain things because we're only doing two verses this morning, and we're only going to concentrate on those things that are underlined. Because Peter, first of all, wants you to know that God knew you were going to come to his salvation before you were even born. I thank you that God knows all things. What gives me a hope this morning is that God knows what's going to happen to me 6 months down the line. God knows what's going to happen to me tomorrow. I know not what the future holds, but I know who holds my future. It's a secret known only to him. And then second of all, we'll look up this morning, is that we are being sanctified. We are being set apart for God this morning. Do you know God called you for a reason? That was to set you apart for himself. Hallelujah. God, the eternal creator of the earth and universe, said one day, Kevin Nichols, you will come to know me. I've set you apart that you might be for me. That is for him that we are being set apart for. And the third thing we notice is the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ as we look at that this morning. I have been sanctified through the Holy Spirit, yeah, but most of all I've been sanctified by the Spirit and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ because he has cleansed me from all sin. Amen. If I'm not cleansed from sin this morning, I've never been set apart for God. We need to understand that. When the world answers you, and the world asks us, because something of God is responding from the radiance of his glory as we've met with him before we've gone to work or before we meet someone in the gym or wherever we are, and someone says, what is that joy? That's not a silly giggly joy of laughing, etc. It's a joy of a deep knowing that you know, that you know, that you know you belong to the Master. And they say, tell me, what is it about you, Lord? And Peter says, tell them you've been washed with the blood of the Lamb. Tell them about the blood of Jesus. The only hope for a dying world, I'm afraid, is a cross. That is the only hope. It's not an economic strategy. It's not a social turning around. The secret for our world today is a cross. And finally, Peter wants you to know this morning that you can know God's wonderful grace and peace. God, you can know God's peace. You can know in every circumstances that you are suffering, you can still know God's peace. God said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, but as I personally give you. Jesus' prayer to his disciples that he wanted to impart his peace in our lives. The Bible says, in all things, give prayer and supplications, make it be known unto God with thanksgiving, and let the peace of God dwell in your hearts. Let the peace of God dwell in your hearts. The first 12 verses of 1 Peter could be entitled, How to Be Secure Through Suffering, Knowing That You Are Saved. The author is obviously Peter, and he wrote this in AD 63 to AD 67, and he wrote it to these five provinces, because what had happened is, in Jerusalem, persecution had come. And in this persecution, people had taken off. They weren't be able to live, they had to move where they were, and they spread all over the place. And what they thought they had won, you see, when they thought they had attacked, they attacked Jerusalem to kill the saints. In actual fact, the reverse happened, because all it did was spread the gospel throughout the whole world. Instead of containing that into one little place, it actually spread the gospel throughout the whole world. But these four places in the Roman Empire, they were suffering. And his purpose was to strengthen believers who were going through persecution and to reinforce to them the biblical truths that God wanted them to know. He wanted to give them hope and encouragement. You know, there were four expectant fathers, and they were all sitting in a hospital waiting room while their wives were giving labor. The nurse came into the first man and said, "Congratulations, you have got twins." The man said, "Well, that's a coincidence. I work for the two towers." The nurse then came back to the second man and said, "You're the father of triplets." He says, "Well, that's a coincidence. I work for 3M. The nurse came into the third man and said, "You've got quadruplets." He says, "Well, this is crazy. This is too much coincidence because I work for the Four Seasons Hotel." At this point, the next guy faints. And when he comes round, the others say, "Well, what's wrong with you?" He says, "I work for 7-Up. God wants to build us up and encourage us this morning. God wants you to know that whatever you're suffering, God wants you to know that whatever you're going through, the eternal God is on your side. There is a hope. There is an expectancy. We can go through trials and tribulations because we know that we have a God. You know, in our culture, we're not expecting persecution. Certainly not in England at the time, on the levels of persecution that these poor people were going through in the Roman Empire. Under the Emperor Domitian, in AD 81 to AD 96, he had many believers crucified. Many believers were took to the den of lions. They lost all their houses. It was written that they were to lose all their lands. They were to lose all their possessions. And they were to be thrown out of Rome. And they were to be persecuted at the highest level. And so they were forced to leave their home, their property, their estates, their business, their job, their money, their church, their friends, and their fellow believers. And Peter is writing to them, to all these people who have scattered abroad. And Peter is saying, "Listen, I want to let you know that amongst all of this that is happening, you are still a victory. Because I want you to know that if God is for you, it doesn't matter who is against you." And Peter goes on to say, "Not only do I don't want you to get upset that you've lost your home, your job, your possessions. Because listen," he said, "in actual fact," he said, "you are just a stranger on this earth." He goes on to tell him that he uses the word pilgrim. The word pilgrim means a temporary nature of staying in one place. Peter is saying, "This world is not your home. You're only here for a short time. Your destination is heaven. Your destination is glory, where God and you will reside forever." He doesn't want you to get too comfortable here. Because this has never been designed for you for home. Philippians 3:20, Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11:13 tells us something wonderful news. It says, "These people all died controlled and sustained by their faith, not having received the tangible fulfillment of God's promises, only having seen it greeted from a great distance by faith, and all the while acknowledging and confessing that they were just strangers, temporary residents and exiles on this earth." Friends, that's what we are. I'm afraid that's what you are. You're a temporary resident. Your permanent home is hallelujah to be with Jesus. That's where we're going. And so we are strangers. And Peter is saying, "I want you to get this inside you." The believers desperately needed strong encouragement. But how? How do you shore up strength in a person who is suffering and hurting so much? How can a person be secure through suffering and persecution? There is only one way, and one way only. He must know that he is saved and absolutely sure he's under the care and love of an almighty God. Do we know that this morning? Our security is knowing that we are saved, that we belong to God, and we are looked after by God. Friend, if you don't know that deep down in your heart and in your spirit, you need to get that settled, my friend. You need to come to an understanding that if you have God in your life, God looks after those who are his. He has never lost anyone, he said. And he wants you to know, deep down, that Peter wants to assure you that while you are suffering, there is a Godhead who sees and knows. I want to tell you, in the first two verses, the Father's mentioned, God is mentioned, and the Holy Spirit is mentioned. Peter wants you to know there is such a thing as a triune Godhead. Many people will take Father, will take Son, but they dismiss the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit is the only person in this present world at this moment. The Father is in heaven. The Son is seated at his right side. But the Holy Spirit is living and dwelling among us. My friend, we want to take grasp and hold of this. God said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send my Spirit. And Peter, in his first two verses, wants you to know why you are secure in God this morning. You are secure because you have a Father who loves you and gave his Son for you. You have a Son who saved you and kept you. And you have a Holy Spirit living inside you this morning who was there to guide you and instruct you and to keep you from all harm. And I want to tell you, one day you'll get to heaven and you will see some of the things that could have happened to you but for the Holy Spirit. There was a young couple of missionaries, and this Dan decided that they were going to smash their home and they were going to invade them because they wanted them to stop talking about Jesus. And they told them, they said, stop talking about Jesus. And they said, we cannot help but talk about what we have been called for. And so the gang leader that night got his gang together and off they went. A few years later, same guy was sitting in church. And that young missionary couple had come. He went over to them. And he says, you know, I threatened you that night. And he said, we did turn up. But he said, I'd like to know who that army you had designed around you to stop us getting in. Missionary said, we had no army. He said, oh yes, you did. He said, we could not get into that house for the people that were surrounding your place. I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit has been designed to guide and help. We do have guardian angels. I do believe in it. Because the Bible says he will keep your angels over you to protect you. Friend, the one thing I hope of your calling, I hope you tell people, is that you have a God, the Father who loves you. You have a Son who has saved you from your sin and made you a new creation. And you have a Holy Spirit now who lives inside and guides and directs. That's the hope that is in us, friends. That is what we want to tell people about. That they too can experience this joy unspeakable, knowing the triune Godhead. Amongst all your suffering, Peter says, they can take away your body. They can never take away that which is living inside you, the Holy Spirit. He goes on to tell him, not only do you have a Godhead as we close, he wants to tell him that you were called before the foundation of the world. In past eternity, God chose you for himself. I don't understand the doctrine of divine election. It's not a very popular subject. People don't like to hear the word predestination. All I know is this, that God knew one day that you people would be sitting, and I want to tell you, if you're here this morning, it's because God called you here this morning. You are not in this church by accident this morning. God called you. Whether you heard his voice, or whether or not, or you just came, let me tell you, God does all things by his foreknowledge. The great news is that you and I born again is not because we had any merit, but for some reason God, before creation came, pointed you out and knew that if he opened up your eyes, you would receive Jesus as your Savior. And if you've never done that this morning, can I tell you that God has called you in here this morning to give you that divine opportunity? That's what God's done this morning. He's called you here so that you can know, like Peter of old, that God is real. And that God, before the foundation of the world, wanted to tell you that he loves you. Wanted to tell you that he died to save you. Wanted to tell you he wants a relationship with you. God wants you to know that this morning. And for those of us who were born again, God wants to say salvation was never an ending point. Salvation was always a starting point. Salvation was always a starting point with God. Foreknowledge. It means to be aware of something before it happens. God sees the future. That's why so many people quote Romans 8:29. Can anybody shout Romans 8:29? I know to be sure you all know it. Romans 28. All things work together to good for those who are called. The word is called. You understand? That is the election. What we talked about this morning. That's why when Peter says, "What's your hope this morning, Sarah?" Sarah can say, "For I know that in all things, not just some things, but in all things, God will work out His purposes for my life because I have been called. I am His and He is mine." It's loved with an everlasting love. Led by God, this grace to know. Spirit revealing from above, Thou hast taught me, it is so. I am His and He is mine. Friend, aren't you excited? You're called this morning, the election of God. Whatever happens to you, all things will work out together for good. To these people, they were going to die. Some of them were going to be thrown into the den of lions. Some were going to lose houses. Some of them were going to lose jobs. And Peter was still saying, listen, all things work out together for the glory of God. Because your home is not here. Your home is with Him in heaven. Friend, what hope are we going to tell our people who we're friends with tomorrow? Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I fully stand on Jesus' name. What is my hope? My hope is I've been called by an eternal God who foreknew before the foundations of the world that I, unbelievable as I am, would one day have Him as my Saviour. You know, foreknowledge is a great thing. And each evening Tom would go in his backyard and he would hoot like an owl because he wanted to be interconnected with owls. And for 1 year this man kept doing the woo-hoo. And one day he heard a response back, woo-hoo. The man was absolutely delirious. He ran into his wife, wow, wow, I've intergalactic, he said, with owls. And he kept going, woo-hoo, every night, and the same voice came back, woo-hoo. One day his wife went to his next door neighbour and she says, listen, I apologise if you see my husband going out every evening hooting. She said, he believes he's interacting with owls. And the woman says, it's funny, my husband does the same. Peter was saying this, we can interact with God this morning. We don't hoot like an owl. We have a divine Holy Spirit inside us. I am His and He is mine. That's my hope this morning. See, if God loves believers this much, how much enough to actually choose and elect them to be His very own holy and beloved people. If He loved you enough to send a man to a cross who was whipped, flogged and crucified for your sin. If He loved you that much, do you think He's going to dump you now? No, seriously. Because sometimes we think God doesn't care when trials and tribulations come. And God would remind you, if I sent my son that horrible death, I won't abandon you now. I love you too much. I love you too much. I'm going to finish. Just got two more points. But basically, He loves you so much that He brought His Holy Spirit that you might be sanctified. You might be set apart for God. That's how much He's invested in you. Friends, He's invested in you. He hasn't just saved you, He's invested in you. You know, a man was standing in a boat in the middle of the river and he loses his balance and he falls in. And he begins splashing around yelling for help. His wife hears the commotion. She knows he can't swim, so she runs down to the bank. And the classroom teacher says, what do you think and why do you think this woman ran down to the bank? A little girl raises her hand and said, to draw out his savings. And God has gone to the bank and invested His Holy Spirit inside you. He has deposited, that's what the word means, He has deposited His Holy Spirit inside us this morning. And I tell you what, if we want to trust the Spirit and allow Him to guide and lead us, we will receive the bonuses and the rewards for that. And the interest is high. It is, it's high. God has said, I have deposited in my bank the Holy Spirit. And if you want to invest in Him this morning, I promise you, Joy unspeakable. Because that's what you need to be telling people. And finally, he has saved us with his soul salvation. By the way, that's just a verse to help you. I want to finish because it is 12 o'clock. But I want to tell you something about salvation this morning. We didn't save ourselves, God saved us. And the hope that you have is that if Jesus Christ called you and saved you, he will keep you going. And finally, the sprinkling of his precious blood. What does this say? It tells me that every week this evening, during the prayer time, we've had communion. And we've had some wonderful evenings in prayer this week, and we've taken communion every night. We'll be taking communion this evening. Because it constantly reminds us of the precious blood of Jesus. And without the shedding of blood, there was no remission for sin. But praise God, I've been sprinkled with his blood this morning. I give God praise this morning. I am sprinkled with his blood. And Peter now wishes that grace and peace be multiplied to them. This greeting is also a blessing and would have special reverence for those who were suffering. Grace is God's loving favour to sinners in Christ, while peace is the objective condition of being right with God. Together, put those both things together. That is your hope this morning. If you learn nothing else this morning, that is your hope and why you tell the world you have both peace and grace from our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to miss that out because I want to conclude with these questions. When things go wrong, how can you be sure that God is in control? How can you be sure? I'm asking you these questions this morning for you to take home and think about it. How can you be sure that God is in control? Because that's what Peter's been talking about this morning. Are you willing to trust God when things go out of control? The questions I'd like you to answer. How about when you're in control? Is there anything that lives outside of God's counsel? Is there? How far has God come down to reach? I hope you know that you know that you know that you know you're born again. I hope that you know that you know that if someone asks you tomorrow morning, why are you a born again Christian? Or what is the joy that's inside you? I hope with all my heart you're able to respond to them. Because I want to tell you the world is looking for hope this morning. And it's found in you. It's found in you. It's found in me.